podcast series. I am Joseph Warden. As always, with me is Mr. Patrick Urban and Mr. Jamie Bouchon. The Freedom Train is sponsored by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on economics and education with the trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. Also, while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _FreedomTrain, and make sure you subscribe to the Freedom Train podcast series via iTunes and Google Play Music. I'm jumping out the window like a Pakistani man. Yes, I did. I started off just like that. So you already know where we're going with this show. Hey, man, gentlemen, we're talking about accountability. We got to bring the accountability show back around.
Mm-hmm. That we do. I think that's a hot topic right now, and it really needs to be addressed from multiple angles.
Yeah. Running around messing with everybody, women.
All right, so
I know y'all probably like, why is this cat singing? If you from Tallahassee, Florida, you know why I'm singing that song. But if you're not from Tallahassee, Florida, you're probably like, why is the dude singing this song all off key? So I know I'm off key. But, you know, we're talking about faulty, lackluster leadership. And the zombies that follow the faulty, lackluster leadership. So, man, which one of y'all want to go ahead and tell the people what the business is?
I mean, Pat, you can get a backdrop. Pat can, you know, explain it a little better than I can.
Because I just want to, after you talk, I just want to go off. So, go ahead.
All right, so, essentially, what we have here is a pastor at a church went over to one of his congregation members' houses and proceeded to start having sex with the wife of said congregation member.
In the wife's daughter's bed,
Hold on, Joe, don't ruin it for me.
I'm sorry.
So while they was in the act of having sex, the kids, the wife's daughter's school calls, and her child was sick. They couldn't get a hold of her because she was having sex with the pastor. So they called her daddy. Her daddy picked her son up, or picked the daughter up, brought the sick child home, only to find that his wife was having sex with the pastor in the daughter's bed. The police, he then threatened to shoot the pastor. The pastor jumped out of the window.
Jumping.
Undressed. The police found the pastor hiding behind a fence, still undressed. I guess he couldn't leave because he left his keys in his clothes, and his clothes was in the house. The wife wanted to press charges against the husband, but the pastor did not. So that's the backdrop of the story.
See, now this is not this pastor's first time getting caught doing this. So we're not bringing this story up just because it's a one-time thing. This pastor is a repeat offender. This pastor has an issue keeping his penis and his pants and his hands off of other people's wives. So we talked a couple of weeks ago about accountability in the black community. And look here again. We talking about it again. I got a question. What is it about leadership in the black community that almost makes them immune to accountability? Why is it that way in the black community?
I thought about that the other day. I honestly was sitting here thinking critically about it. And I think maybe a part of that is the lack thereof of quality leadership. Even though we know there's quality leaders in there, sometimes they aren't given a platform as if a pastor would or elected official. But since they have a platform, it's kind of, you know, people got that, this is all we got. This is, you know, the best we could do. We just got to ride out, keep on keeping on, versus I don't know. Yeah, I think they feel like there's a like a, you know, they operate in a small vacuum and there's only so many good leaders within the community, when in actuality, it's just there are some good people out there. You just got to give them that same platform and that opportunity. So I kind of thought about that. That's a real good question, because sometimes we leech on to damn scumbags and we'll just keep riding with these scumbags for no reason. We won't hold them accountable. You know, we won't make them meet the standards that they should meet from, you know, various standpoints. So I don't know. I think we just – sometimes people are just thirsty for, you know, that guidance and that leadership, and anybody that can, you know, tell them, you know, something and make them feel good and make them feel reassured and safe, or, you know, make them feel like they got purpose in life, you know, they kind of excuse a lot of different things and let, you know, these dirtbags stand before them and call themselves leaders. That's – I don't know. That's just my take.
Yeah. It's – I guess the part that pissed me off and get me and have me looking at black folk cross-eyed is when it's somebody that you have affection for, you want this person to get alternative discipline, meaning your ass don't want nothing to happen to them. But when it's somebody you don't know,
discipline on them, Joe.
Hey man, hey, if we want to make up words, why not?
Is that related to alternative facts?
It's the cousin to alternative facts, alternative discipline, and yo, that means you ain't do shit. That's what that means.
And that's what you just said. I think is the reason a lot of people in here they have affection for this pastor and whatnot, but that doesn't excuse the fact, like, I get the religious part of it. He's your pastor, this, that, and the other. But to me, like the men of that church, I'm disappointed in them. Like, I can call myself a good brother if I'm going to sit here and allow this man sit up here to preach to my young gentlemen, my young women in this crowd, knowing the things he's done in his past. That to me, that just, I mean, that pastor didn't make that church. Like, and they're treating him like he's the golden child, like, if we get rid of him, all this, what we worked apart, just goes down the drain. So it's just like, so is he the church or is the church the church? And that part, I still haven't gotten an answer on.
Because that's a great question. Because if he is the church, then y'all been bullshitting every Sunday. Every time y'all go there, y'all bullshitting. If he is the church. Yeah. Because, like, how is one person bigger than the Word of God? Like, show me, like, don't come telling me, oh, some people fall short and all these things. When you are in leadership positions, there's a certain responsibility. Now, let me do say this, because this is something that I have been saying for a long time. This is not no damn excuse, though. I do say that I've always told girls and women, if you are going to be involved in a relationship with a man that's in a position of power, authority, or celebrity, you need to make sure y'all have an understanding. You need to make sure you know what type of man that you got before he enters this position, because he will get tempted. Now, with saying that, that doesn't mean that gives nobody a green light to act on those temptations. And especially in this case with this particular pastor, how many times you need to get caught before you need to sit your ass down? How many times do you need to get caught before you take responsibility for your actions? How many times do you need to get caught before you get hurt?
True.
But see, here's the thing. Even from a religious standpoint, like if we're talking about the larger community as a whole, I can understand why there are such issues with leadership, dealing with leadership and things like that, because as a whole, we aren't really taught what leadership is, and we aren't really taught what followership is either. So to that, you just have a bunch of people running around getting their ideas of what a leader is from, you know, from television or from various other places. You know, you have people that think that an alpha male is always going to be a good leader because he's an alpha male, and, you know, the same thing said an alpha female is this, that, and the third. So I think that's one thing. But when it comes to the religious realm, the Bible is very clear that pastors and people that are quote-unquote ordained to minister God's words are held to a higher standard. And it lays out specifically how to deal with these people when they cross the word of God. So it lays it on, it's all right there in the book. So for them, I don't give them any real slack or whatever. They should know better. You know, it says in 1 Timothy 5, that chapter, there is a section in there about, and I'm not looking at my Bible right now, so forgive me, but there's a section in there that is very, very, very direct, that pastors are held to a higher standard when they are found, to be committing sin. They are to be publicly rebuked once that sin has been recognized and proven to be true. They are to take accountability. That means that just apologizing is not enough. And they are to be a punishment that is considered fair to both them and the congregation is to be administered. And the congregation has an obligation to do that to the pastor. The followers have an obligation to make those charges against the leadership in the church. It's very, very, very plain, very direct. So all of these, and it also speaks about bias and partiality. So all of these people that are all up in their emotions, especially these biblical people surrounding all of the mishaps we've been having around pastors, around spiritual leaders in the community, we're having these issues because you're not doing your job as a congregation member. You're not calling them out and holding them accountable, which according to the Bible means that you're sinning. And this is according to your book. I'm not making it up. According to your book. And in Isaiah 5, it also talks about, in the book of Isaiah, it also talks about the reasons why the church no longer finds favor in the eyes of God is because the church doesn't know peace and the members don't speak justly. They don't know justice. All of that, like, come on, this is out of your book. I'm a heathen, and I know this. I'm a heathen, and I study your book. There is no spiritual or religious excuse for a pastor to fuck somebody else's wife, yes, I did say fuck, and still be a pastor at that church. And there is no reason for the members to be defending him. There's no reason whatsoever.
You can't defend a repeat offender. You can't defend that. Like, let's just be real. If it was one of us, man, and see, one of my biggest problems with all those people, especially in this specific realm, and these fake holier-than-thou people, condemn the sin, not the sinner, and all that, man, ain't no, look. If I go outside and I punch somebody in the face, sin didn't do that. Joseph did that. Sin did not go outside to open that door. Joseph did. Like we got, like you saying, those people are getting what they deserve. Those people, you got a faulty leader, so that's why everything else is faulty around that. And that's not just for that institution. Look at you seen the show, y'all. You heard the show we had a couple of weeks ago talking about the same topic about leadership. Same thing they talk about the conscious community. Same thing about the religious community. Both the conscious community and religious community are two communities full of confused-ass black people who mad at each other, who don't know what the hell going on, and these are the people who refuse to think for them damn selves. And that's why we're in the situation that we're in, because you got groups of people who damn fools, and the zombie apocalypse is upon us right now because people refuse to think for themselves. Like, there's no way you can keep excusing. So at what point is it not okay for your leaders to be having sex with other people's wives? At what point? Like, how many times do it have to happen? How many times do it have to happen before somebody says, wait a minute, we're not following you no more? The first time it happened, he got away with it. Nobody did anything. This one girl told me, well, at least he ain't gay. But hold on. Ain't y'all the people who say one sin ain't worse than the other? So that's what you're going to tell me? Well, at least he ain't gay. No, and this was the last time we was talking about this specific pastor. We're talking about 2-3 years ago, the last time. So this is the second time within the last 2-3 years that we know of. This is the second time it went public. So at what point does responsibility come in?
And we have to address the other problem, which is that this is not something that's relegated to this individual church. This is a phenomenon that's widely known and accepted in the community. that the pastor is having sex with somebody's wife. It's something that's widely known and widely accepted and not really questioned or challenged at all. And that, you know, like that speaks to a larger cultural problem that needs to be solved, not just within the, and I mean, I know we can make it a larger Christian issue because in Africa, there was that pastor over there who had his congregation members eating grass. And then there was another pastor somewhere else that had said his penis had been anointed by God and had the women in the church giving him head. So, you know, like these are instances that are happening all over the world, but that, like, we have to address that cultural issue right here at home. Why are our leaders, why do we keep anointing people leaders that haven't proved that they have the character to carry that title? And the second part is, why is it that when we do get these leaders and we do appoint them and they do mess up, we don't hold them accountable? We all have our theories about it, but that's something that needs to be addressed, because I know a lot of people going to hear the show and they're going to get upset and be like, well, they just going in on the pastor. They trying to capitalize off of his myth. No, look, first off, I tell you what, from my personal,
we go in on everybody.
My personal viewpoint is this. The series of events that led to him getting caught this second time mean to me that God wanted him to be caught in order to open some eyes. That's what that says to me. I mean, it just so happens that the daughter was sick that day. And it just so happens that she was so sick that they called Mama. And it just so happened that Mama was so busy getting her freak on that she couldn't think to answer the phone. And it just so happened that they reached Daddy, and he just so happened to come home before y'all finished. Like, you know, you want to talk about God working for the greater good of those who love the Lord. That's God showing y'all that the man that y'all are looking up to ain't no good. That's how I read that.
Ooh, that is a perspective I think a lot of people, like, immediately rejected. If you listen to that apology put in, he very specifically, I think he wrote that apology. He knew exactly what he was saying, because he said it
and
in such a way.
He know who he talking to.
And he convinced them to not even consider that narrative. He convinced them not even to look at it. This is God exposing this man that y'all been sitting here looking at for and calling the great leader, putting your kids in front of him. This is who he is. And we want to pretend, this is what a lot of the congregation there at Jacob's Chapel, and what they want to pretend is this is one isolated incident. You got to think of it. You can't say, oh, this is the first time they hooked up. Seriously?
Right. We know this ain't the first time they hooked up. You know it ain't. But this is the first time they got caught.
Yeah, we want to be naive to act like this is, you know, oh, this is the first time he hooked up. Now, at this point, what everybody in that church should be doing is questioning his past behavior. And that part hasn't been happening. Nobody's going back and say, okay, if you lied about this and you were untruthful about this, we need to go back and reexamine all these other things. I mean, I would be checking money. I would be doing everything he had his hands on, going back and do it. Because if you're capable of sleeping with another man's wife in his daughter's bed, in the house, you are one bold, you went to another man's house and slept with his wife in his bed. Dog, you know
foul
how bold
person.
That is?
You're no, foul.
Okay, you're foul, but you know how brave, arrogant that is? That's like, yo, I don't care if he come in. What are you going to do, shoot me? That's basically what he was saying. Like, he was so arrogant, he didn't even care that he was being sloppy. Like, yo, I'll go to this man's house, smash his wife on his daughter's door to explore blankets. I don't care. Like that, like how bold can you get? That to me, like, that speaks to like him just being like, I don't care, I'm out here in these streets. What? Who gonna stop me? He takes your white Jesus money, buying some Magnums, filling up the tank, and smashing these broads. Yo, that is a hustler. That is a pimp. That is a lowlife, and they don't even understand that part of it.
Like he is not a man at all. There isn't a drop of man. For Buddy couldn't even stand there in front of his crowd and admit his wrongdoing. You want to blame social media and the internet for reacting? Are you serious? So when has social media and the internet never reacted over information like this? Tell me when. So it's supposed to stop because it's you? That's what you want? You want to stop the internet, people around the country and people around the city, hey, it's me. So you can't react the same way you react. And, man, half your congregation watch these Housewives shows. Now, how many people in your congregation watch these stupid shows, be on the stupid stuff, and they're always commenting, but when it comes home, when it need, because he need to be checked. He ain't no man. He need to be set down. And I said, if you don't like it, you don't have to talk to me no more. But he is not a man. A man takes responsibility for his actions. If you do something wrong, you admit you're wrong. Now, I'm not saying they should just throw him. They shouldn't just throw him away. No society should throw people away. But he need to be rehabilitated. And it looked like nobody's interested in his rehabilitation. He is not fit for leadership. He should not be in a position where he is in front of people, and he dang sure don't need to be around women, because obviously he can't keep his meat in his pants, obviously. And like, the funniest thing to me so far this week is when you got one ain't shit pastor talking about another ain't shit pastor, right? And so But this is the environment that he created. You can't be mad at that you all over the national news and stuff. This is what you created. If you didn't want this, well, when you got caught last time, why didn't you stop? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about you and all your members mad. So why didn't they get together to help you turn over a new leaf? What's up? Let's talk about that. Don't nobody want to talk about that, because I guess that's real stuff, right? But no, we have to check our sins. We have to look at this. We have to clean out our closets. Hey, man, look, if you the person who's still saying only God can judge me, you need to wake the fuck up, because in the real world, you get judged. Guess what? You can go actually get a job being a judge. So that means everybody can judge your ass. Get real.
And I hate that only God, like, what I've heard and I've got kind of upset about is this, like, this silence. Nobody wants to say anything. And that silence, and he was very articulate with his words and how he said it. He called the people, he demonized the people like us that are being critical of him. He demonized the people that are talking about him on the internet, calling them sharks. You guys are not of that world. When you jump out there with sharks, you're going to get ate up. So he pretty much just, you know, told them, stay silent. You know, you ain't got to say nothing. And by doing that, it's not something noble. It's not respecting the institution of that church. It's protecting him. It's keeping this. He's trying to get this story to die, so he don't want y'all even in these conversations. Just focus on me. Don't worry about out there. Just focus on me. We going to be all right. For him to get up there, I'm not the pastor of Tallahassee. I'm not the pastor of the community. I'm your pastor. That's a bullshit.
Well, take responsibility for your actions then.
But even still, isn't the church, isn't it tax-free because they provide a community service? Am I right or wrong?
Yep.
So, you know, you provide the community, yes, you are a pastor in that community. So that statement right there should have got the shit slapped out of him. But the fact that he went up there and his whole posture was cocky, arrogant, he was cracking jokes, and it was just like, that's not a man that's showing remorse. It's like, I'm not going to be – he was asking people to be sympathetic for him, even though he was dead as wrong. But the way he said it and worded it, if you're like one of these little – I don't want to pick on my religious people, but if you're not – if the book, only book you read is the Bible, then you brought up everything he said, turn another cheek, all those lessons you learned. But if you actually understand how this world operates and the power of religion – do you understand that guy was full of shit? And for anybody who now wonders how slave masters use religion to keep slaves obedient, no, look no further than his congregation, who are now quiet and are just walking in line regardless of what their leader is doing to them, whooping their ass spiritually, getting up there and fucking other people's wives, but they're just staying obedient and silent. Understand that.
Hey, if you and I want to say this too for the religious black people who like to jump down the conscious community throat, and especially this latest thing with Umar Johnson, all of them that happened, like, you can't be jumping down Umar Johnson's throat and then you defending this guy. Because not only is this guy taking the people's money, because the community surrounding that church hasn't changed. It hasn't gotten any better. Yeah, I'm going to say that again. The community that surrounds that church hasn't gotten any better. And you can say, well, because there's a difference, because in front of the church is a middle class, middle to upper class, affluent black community. Behind the church, it ain't. So, and from my understanding, this church has a lot of well-to-do, prominent people who have made who are successful. The community is not benefiting from. Matter of fact, I'm not just calling out that church, because it's about 22 churches within that mile radius of what I'm thinking about, the Southside area. I don't, none of them do nothing for the community like that. So this church is not, you know, stand out. But what we are talking, since we are talking about this church, I mean, you have to. You stop trying to be a spin doctor. Stop trying to use your words. Like, be a man and take responsibility for your actions. I cannot respect you. I can't. You can't defend that. I can't even get my words out. You can't even defend that. Go ahead. I can't even get my damn words out.
Here's the deal, right? Jamie made a great point about how Christianity was used. And the other side of that is, we have to remember, Christians, or slaves, weren't allowed to read either. So they weren't even allowed to find the context that the words in the Bible were spoken in. They just had to accept this piece of the Bible that was given to them, which is largely the way the church has continued, giving people things section by section and robbing them of the context of what's going on. Because when you understand the context, the Bible is not telling you not to judge other people. It's telling you to judge yourself first. It's basically saying, don't be a hypocrite. Don't punish this person for doing something that you do. That's right. What the Bible is getting at. It is not saying don't judge. All throughout the Bible, you find stories of people being judged by other people. There's a whole book on it called Judges.
Say it again.
So let's stop with this foolishness that, you know, the only one that could judge me is God. No, the Bible points out that there are people in this world who have a biblical anointing to judge you. And there are other people in this world who have a responsibility to judge you as well. If you're in a position of leadership, your congregation or your followers, for those that are secular, they have a responsibility to judge you, to hold you accountable, to make sure that you're operating within the realm of what you're supposed to be operating from. So but again, one of the biggest problems is that with everything we do, we don't teach people real knowledge. We don't give them things that they can really use to process information for themselves. You look at the church teaches dogma and doctrine, and it uses the Bible as support and documentation. I typed that up on Facebook, but it's true. We teach you a rough, roundabout set of beliefs, and then we give you documentation to support those beliefs, but we never explain to you why you should have these beliefs, what these beliefs are intended to do, why these beliefs were created. We never explain any of that to you, and we don't even really give you the context of the supporting documentation that would give you the wisdom to be able to say, all right, this belief is bullshit, because the supporting documentation don't act. That's like if I read you something, that's like if we were talking about slavery, and all I told you was the slave song and dance, and then I used that to say black people love slavery. You'd be like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they sung and danced when they had free time to pass away, to free their minds from the guilt and the torture, and the torture and the pain of being a slave. So when they had free time, they sung and danced. That's the context. But they rob you. If I rob you of that context and just say black people sung and danced as slaves, and I taught that to you from a child on up, you're going to grow up thinking that black people was happy slaves. That's what's happening in the church, and that's what's happening in larger society. And that's right. My beef. Like, I don't even give a damn about the pastors, because the pastors are able to do what they do because the congregation lets them do it.
Right.
true.
So my beef is with all of y'all followers, all of y'all running around talking about I'm unfriending people for talking crazy and talking reckless. They're not talking crazy and talking reckless. They're talking sane. You are thinking crazy and reckless.
I'm telling y'all right now, if you got a problem with truth, go ahead and unfriend me. Please unfriend me, because you somebody that don't need to be in my life anyway. If you afraid of the truth, if you got a problem with somebody speaking the truth, if you have a problem with holding somebody who's supposed to be a leader accountable. Now, like you said, Jamie, the other day, these same people who asking us to overlook his ills and forgive his ills, why y'all not doing that for Trump?
Yeah. That's,
come on, Christians. Why y'all not forgiving Trump? Y'all hate Trump. Y'all hate Trump guts for what he said. But y'all want us to overlook what this man did. How we get to that point in life?
And that dynamic is so crazy, because it's just I see it now. I'm looking, you know, I go through, you know, Facebook and social media. You got these same people, and I know they go to that church, and I know they've been quiet, and I know they purposely not said anything. But they in here giving all this political commentary, how Trump's unfit to lead, this, this, that, and other. Now, this happens. Then they're quiet for this whole past week. They're quiet. Don't come back out talking any more politics. What credibility do you have at that point? Pretty much your whole entire moral compass only exists depending on who it is. So to me, that just it doesn't even make sense. Like, oh, since it's this guy, this is how I feel. But oh, I know this guy; he goes to my church, so I'm gonna change my morals, I'm gonna change my values, my perception, and all this because this guy told me to be obedient. At no point should anybody, if you're sitting here saying forgive and this, that, and other, you have nothing to say about Donald Trump or the realm of politics to me. Like, I really can't have a conversation with you, and I don't want your spiritual advice. You can't tell me anything spiritually because you're compromised. Every day you're learning, you're going to that church, and you're learning from a compromised, corrupt person. You're choosing to do that. Nobody's forcing these people to go to this church.
Mm-hmm.
They're choosing to do that. So what moral ground can you stand on to actually advise somebody else on matters of religion, the Bible, whatever the case may be?
Mm-hmm.
No. That's like me following the works of Hitler. That's my guy, and I'm sitting here trying to talk about peace and love to you. Fuck no.
Right.
No, is this the model of what you're saying is, because the pastor is the Godhead of the church, if you will, the good shepherd, if you will, hurting his flock. Well, your shepherd ain't shit. So what does that make your flock?
Mm-hmm.
Not shit.
Yeah.
And now go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, I just don't get that analogy, that dynamic of, on this case, like, perfect example, when Bishop Eddie Long had his scandal, people were talking all out the work because it wasn't related to them. Even when
these
he died.
These same people.
Even when he died. Here we go. Even when he died, people were sitting on Facebook, which what happens in the dark will come to light, as in he died or whatever because he was being punished for what happened in his little scandal, X, Y, and Z. There were people who said that, and he's saying people over here being solid right now. What kind of hypocrite shit is that? And I'm not saying – sometimes I contradict myself, but I'm not going to sit here and go out, step out for my wife, step out on my family, step out on my congregation. Then just come back and like, hey, my bad, y'all. Hey, you know how it is. Sometimes you slip on some soap and some pussy on the ground. Yeah, you just got to go in. This is premeditated smashing. This is what I call premeditated smashing. They set up a time, a location, and he knew not to have sex in that man bed. Like,
man,
this is premeditated.
Fuck out of here with all that shit. Fuck out of here with all that. People make mistakes shit. Fuck out of here with all that. That's not a
mistake. A drunk text on a Saturday night, or you mistakenly sent somebody a dick pic or something. That's maybe a mistake. I could see that. Oh, pastor sent me a dick pic. He meant to send it to his wife. Okay, maybe you could explain that. But pastor just dropped some dick off around town. That's a mistake. The dick dropping devil got into his bones and possessed him.
Yeah, people keep talking about. He possessed by a lustful spirit. Shut up, man. Stop. See that right there. With that mindset right there, it's a spirit. It's not the person. It's the spirits that inhibit their body. So y'all get possessed all day, every day, right? But y'all, so like, why are you getting possessed so damn much?
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, because if it's not you, if it's every time something go wrong, it's a spirit. So you need. I thought you had on the armor. Like your armor got what? Like what's wrong with your armor? Why is you keep? How you got on all this armor, but you keep getting possessed?
But here's the deal, though. Again, you're talking about. Because like my thing is, one, I agree with you guys, and like we said earlier, an accident is we hugged, we kissed even. I could see that. I kissed her. Temporary, momentary lapse in judgment. If you butt naked stroking, that's been going on. And it's the same thing I said about Umar Johnson. I could understand the lapse in judgment. You get on, you rant for 30 minutes, you rant for a couple seconds, maybe you even rant for 5 minutes, then you catch yourself, you shut it down. If you are butt naked stroking, the time for you to catch yourself was in between taking your clothes off and being butt naked.
On your way over there.
Even if you want to say that, okay, whatever, he went over there for an honest counseling session, and one thing legitimately led to another. Like at some point during the undressing process, you have to stop and think, wait a minute. And if that doesn't occur, then we're not seeing a freak occurrence. We're seeing your real character come out. Same thing I said about Umar Johnson. He ran it for 45 minutes. We're not seeing a freak occurrence. We're seeing you. And so, but even in terms of a lot of other things, you know, like these whole spirits and all of that other thing. Like,
man, that's bullshit.
Like the again, and when you're talking about Christian people, again, you have to, like, they don't listen to nothing but what's in their book, which is why I've become so good at the book. Not to mention, there's a lot of good stuff in the book. But the book speaks specifically to holding people accountable. You cannot separate the sin from the sinner while the sinner is still engaged in the sin. You can't do it. Before you can separate the sin from the sinner has to repent. He has to apologize. He has to pay his debt. That's why, according to your book, people that are not clean of sin go to hell. That is, if it was seriously separate the sin from the sinner, then that God
nobody
would be
go
sending
to hell.
Nobody to hell.
Nobody would go to Hitler. Then Hitler didn't do that. Donald Trump didn't grab pussy.
But the whole structure of your religion is based on acceptance and accountability. I accept that I fucked up. Hold me accountable for it. That's the root of Christianity, acceptance and accountability. I accept that I'm an imperfect person, but I'm still accountable for my actions. All of this shit y'all got going on now, that's taken away. That's something somebody added in. Because they didn't want to either accept their problems, or they didn't want to be accountable. The Donald Trump situation is a perfect analogy. Because mm-hmm. they going in full throttle on a man.
Full force on Donald Trump.
Who ain't really done nothing in the last 10 years,
but talk
reckless. Now, I know he did some stuff in the 70s, he did some stuff in the 80s, he did some stuff in the 60s. But in the last 10 years, roughly, he ain't done nothing but talk reckless. And y'all are going in. The man was president for 4 hours, and y'all was acting like Republicans was when Obama got sworn in.
Right, right. But now forgiveness and overlooking is in order. No.
And another point, no. Real quick, Joe. Because you made me think. Forgive don't mean forget. I can forgive you, which basically means I've moved on. I'm not gonna keep bearing ill will or negative energy towards you. But that don't mean I forgot what you did. That don't mean I let you back into a position to do it again. That's not what that means. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, but it's real, like especially in this And that's the main thing that's getting me about this specific situation is he's a repeat offender. Like, he keep doing, like, you can't keep getting caught doing the same things. It's like, if I get caught smoking crack rock once, I'm a crackhead to the public. If I get caught smoking crack rock twice, I'm a crack fiend to the public now, right? And so this is the way I'm going to be perceived. Fuck out of here because you have personal feelings with this person. Forget that. That has nothing to do with true accountability. That has nothing to do with a man or a woman or anybody in these positions being accountable for their actions, actually admitting they're wrong. Like, you cannot stand in front of your congregation and try to spin it like everybody's just going all crazy for nothing. No, everybody's going like that because you got caught again. And from my understanding, this is your second time you getting caught in the story going public, but this ain't your second time getting caught overall, from my understanding. Now, I don't have no facts to back that up, so don't take me to the bank on that. But the fact that you got caught again, and then your apology is horrible. And then the other pastors in the city, yeah, I'm talking about y'all too. Not all of them, but some of y'all pastors in the city, we should respond with love. And so this, so holding him accountable, that's not love?
Right.
They talking about Tom Joyner hurt me. Boy, shut up. Because if you listen to Tom Joyner every day, Tom Joyner go in on people every day. So how many times did you laugh? How many times did you enjoy it? So now, because you know the person, you got a problem with you ain't going to call Tom Joyner out. You ain't going to call him up.
Wait,
so shut up.
Mad at Tom Joyner?
Man, yeah, dude, when these crazy pastors around, he mad because Tom Joyner talked about Tom Joyner, you hurt me. Man, Tom Joyner don't know you. Tom Joyner don't care about you. But guess what? So Tom Joyner hurt you? Did he hurt you? Did your fellow pastor hurt you? Now, shouts out to all the pastors who are calling him out. Shout out to them. But it is one pastor who calling them out who, hey, boy, hey, bro, you a liar, so you ain't got no room to be calling nobody out because you a liar, and I could expose you all the way out. But that ain't what we here for. But it is, I do think the pastors need to step to him. The other pastors in the city, the deacons need to step to him. His congregation should be the first one stepping to him. They should be like, Pastor, you know what? You got to take a seat. This Sunday ain't for you. But for them to allow him to come sell them that bull, and then they give him a standing ovation after he told y'all, I basically said, I know I got caught fucking, but it ain't my fault. It's the media fault for talking about it.
Yeah.
That is.
God's still working on me, trying to iron out my
See, I got a problem with that because I know Steve Harvey used to say that. Oh, God's still working on me. People say that. So when you going to start working on you? Because matter of fact, don't use that excuse no more, because if God is an omnipotent being, means he's infinite in power. How the hell is he still working? How the hell the most powerful being in the universe is still ain't figured this out yet?
You know what, though?
Ooh,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Hold on, one thing. But that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, the way the black community interprets the Bible and the way we see God. We see God as this puppet master that, oh, you did good. Oh, let me send some blessings. Or when something bad happened in your life, it's me testing you. No, you fucked up. Like, you went and got in some pussy. That's not me testing you. You fucked up. So these are the consequences.
Right.
That's just what every action has an equal and opposite reaction. I fucked up consequences. I do good shit happens. That's like fucking common sense.
You reap what you sow.
So, yeah, but that perception of what you said, like, we perceive, like, especially when it comes to religious standpoint, Christianity, even Islam and whatever else, they only perceive God in the way the Bible teaches them. And once I got outside of the church, I actually became more spiritual of a person because I didn't see God as just this old white man sitting up in the sky. First of all, we don't even know God's a man. We keep calling him a father. You don't know if he – you don't even – he's a spirit. He's a being.
He doesn't take
a human form.
All I want to say is the highest form of energy in the universe is feminine energy. That's all I want to say, but, you know.
I'm just saying, like, whatever. I'm not trying to get too deep for that. But we don't – but our perception of how we – see God and all that stuff and how we interpret these books, that a lot of times shapes the expectations we have for this leadership, and it's piss poor, man. It's absolutely piss poor. And my thing, you show me one woman that would let her husband do that right there and just come home and be like, babe, I'm hurting because you're hurting.
Matter of fact,
I'm not Tallahassee's husband. I'm not the community's husband. I'm your husband. And I got forgiveness from God, and that's all I need. My wife would have beat the shit out of my ass.
If he was a woman, they would drag that lady name through the mud, and that would have been made her sit down. Now, I will say that. If that was a woman who done that, oh, man, it would be over for that pastor if that was a female. Come on.
But see, oh, yeah.
The thing, too, is as a culture group, because, like, again, I'm not even going to, like, the pastor, he's been what he is. And all of those leaders have been what they are. They keep showing us, and we keep giving them passes. So at this point, for me, I'm no longer going after leaders. I'm going after the followers. In the case of church, I'm going after the congregation. And because we got another thing running through our community where everybody wants to believe that it ain't none of your business. That's a bold-faced lie. The community is a connected group of individuals, a connected group. When one person does something, that reverberates out and affects everybody else in the group. And as long as we look at ourselves as a group of individuals, instead of looking at ourselves as a group, period, we're going to continue to have these problems where we don't make any forward progress. That pastor, and really, the church should be the first person to call him out, because what he did negatively affects them.
Right.
But that pastor went out and slept with another man's wife, which furthers the stereotype that pastors are sleeping with other people's wives, which drives members further away from the church, which creates a larger divide between the church and the secular black community, which causes all kinds of other problems. I mean, we could keep going out with how this reverberates out, you know, indefinitely. You know, not to mention looking at all of the individual connections and the me and Joe, you and I have talked about this, where we've met females that have said, I'm going to, you know, you'll get a one-time pass to cheat on me because you're a man and men can't control themselves.
Think about
what type of low self-esteem somebody has to have to say that I will accept you stepping out on me. And then you look at the fact that it's become an accepted part of the community that leaders, spiritual leaders, no doubt, no less, are given the, you know, that are assumed to be sleeping with somebody in the congregation. And so you just look at how that reverberates out on all kinds of levels, economic, social, cultural, gender-based. You look at how that impacts the larger community. Every single person in the community, especially in the black community, is well within their rights to call out faulty leadership, secular or otherwise. I wouldn't give a damn if he was an Islamic imam. I'm going to still call his ass out because it affects me.
True. Hold on 1 second, Joe. What you just said, Pat, we see ladies sit here and talk. Well, I don't say all ladies, but some women sit here, black men need to step up. We need to stop doing this. That motherfucker's giving me a bad name.
Right.
I'm a father. I'm a husband. Don't say it's not my business. He's giving every black man out here, if you're an African-American man, you out here married, you're doing things the right way, you're living your life with integrity, you're doing things the right way, trying to be a positive impact on not only your children, but the community and children, your community in which you serve. He's giving us a bad name, and he holds a very important title. The title of husband should have been enough for him to sit his dumb ass down, but that wasn't even enough. He has the title of pastor attached to him as well, and that still didn't mean shit. So for people to say that's not his – no, he's making you look bad. And how dare you sit your damn sons and children right here in front of him and let this man speak to him? There's no way in hell. No way in hell. The imagery of it is pretty much – if I'm a teenage young man in that church and I see it right now, what did that just teach me? Oh, if I fuck up, do this, that, and the other – I can just come back, ask for forgiveness, this, that, and other. And we wonder why some of these young men won't take accountability for themselves. we blame it on rap music and all this other shit. What about these piss poor examples that are sitting in these pulpits? That's something we need to address too. That is our business. He's given us all a bad name, and goddamn it, I'm going to speak out about it.
Hey man, look here. If you're a woman who defends shit like this, don't you come out your mouth asking men to step up. You help men stay garbage. If you support shit like this, don't open your mouth talking about nobody stepping up. Won't you be a better woman? Now, with that being said, do we think men could do better? Yes, the same way we think women could do better, because this is not like men doing worse than women thing, because then we can't, let's not go there, because going there ain't going to do them a further divide us. But don't ask us to step up if this is what you're going to support. Like I can never ask a woman to take her livelihood to another level if I'm still around here trying to smash everything and trying to be a fool. Like that's hypocritical. But like you said, Pat, and like we all been saying, the people who choose to follow others like this, why? Like why do you have to follow these people? If you don't this particular church, if you don't go to the church for like 4 Sundays, what's gonna happen? Like is God gonna be mad at you? God gonna strike you down? Really? Really? So God gonna overlook all the other evil in the world to come strike you down? Because I'm sure countries of people starving right now, countries of people being oppressed right now. So you're gonna look over all that to come strike you down because you didn't go to church for 4 days, for 4 weeks? Let's just be real. You were sold a lie, and you keep running with the lie, and mix that with egotism. Mix that with just straight cockiness, and mix that with people who don't think. Like it's almost like I seen a caption one time where they show like people in the church and the top of their heads open and their brains just crawling out of their head, just running away. But like, it's a running like they have to, especially in the black church, like they have to really look. You guys are a running joke around the world that black, especially black Christians, don't think. Like when you see the videos of Benny Hinn in the all black church waving that magic jacket and people just falling out. And by the way, I want me one of them jackets, by the way. But think about that. Think about how foolish that makes us look as a people. You got a pastor waving his jacket. Talking about you get a sin and you get a passing out sins like Oprah. If it's like that, then how come our community still messed up? Like I had one of the FSU nursing students with me today, and we rolled through the hood. And before I told her that it was about 20-something churches in this neighborhood, before I could finish my sentence, we had already counted 7 churches. So 7 churches in these one place. So how are things getting better? They're not getting better. We need to reevaluate religion and how we follow it. We need to reevaluate leadership and why we follow people. Why do we follow people? And also, just because somebody got a lot of followers on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube or something, just because you open up your camera and start talking, don't make your ass a leader. That don't make you a leader. Just because you start talking, everybody has access to a camera phone. That don't mean your information is more legit than anything else. So,
and one other thing, I think a lot of people, they feel ownership of that church, and rightfully so. You've been there, you've done free labor, not got paid for it, and actually paid your money to come in there and sit. So I feel the sense of ownership. But if I'm wrong, you know, I'm not like. Aren't you the church? The church isn't that building. The people, the believers, that's the body of Christ. Am I wrong when I say that?
Nope.
Am I interpreting that wrong?
You're not wrong, but that's how they take it. They don't get that though.
Yeah. So my thing is that attachment you have to the building, the choir, this and other. That's not the church. That's not the purpose of all this standing. The purpose is the souls being saved, all that good stuff, people being, you know, led into the proper direction, led to salvation, X, Y, Z. Once that gets compromised, who gives a damn because you've been in the choir for 20 years? The main purpose of all this has just been compromised. Why are you still holding on to the church because you get to wax the cymbals when everybody's done? No, I don't care if you're the choir director. No, the very moral compass of that church has been compromised, and that should be the focus, not because you've been a member for 5 years. God damn it, I've been an Amazon member for quite some time, and I love Amazon. That one click buy, and I get books overnight. That's how I brought your book, Joe. Matter of fact, I love it Amazon. Is. But Amazon do some shady ass stuff, and
I'm gone.
All like, yeah, I'm gone. I'm a
man. Put it like this. Want y'all should treat these pastors like y'all treat black businesses.
Oh,
how about that? Let's treat the church like we treat black businesses.
I like that.
You know what I'm saying? Because you go into a black business and the slight hint of discomfort, and black folk don't come back. Black folk gone. Let's treat the church like we treat black businesses. How about that?
Yeah, now you know that's not gonna happen. Hell no,
it ain't.
Cause we're zombies. And if you don't like what we're saying, if the shoe don't fit, then don't take offense. But if you don't like what we're saying and you got offended, I got one question for you. Who the fuck asked you to get offended? What made you get offended? Who told you that you needed to be offended? Because you can make the choice, just like you making the choice to defend his wrongs, you can make the choice to not be offended. Or you can make the choice to do something different. But if what we're saying offends you, then you can't be living right. You can't be thinking right. You can't want the best out of people. If you're getting offended by us holding somebody accountable, you do not have the best interest of the people at hand. You don't.
I agree with that.
Hey man,
look at hell.
But you know, we ain't gonna beat a dead horse into the ground. But what we do, this is our, like we say, you know, this is the second time in a couple of weeks where we're having this leadership conversation within our community, black people. Look, whether we get it or not, whether you part of the conscious community, whether you part of the Christian community, whether you part of the whatever religious community, whether you tall, short, pretty, ugly, smart, dumb, whatever. We need each other. Black people, we need each other. And until we realize how much we need each other, we're going to keep going through these cycles. We will find every little minute detail available to be divided amongst ourselves. But we won't find these minute details to become united amongst ourselves. And part of being united and part of being strong and part of being a nation of people, a powerful nation of people, starts with little things. Just like, matter of fact, y'all remember, I'm sure you remember, Jamie. Remember, football coaches are held to a higher standard than pastors.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when Florida State, remember the first half of Florida State season when everybody wanted Charles Kelly fired?
Mm-hmm.
Even though Florida State was winning, people wanted that coach, the defensive coordinator for FSU, they wanted him fired because the team wasn't playing up to the level of their expectations. So you holding football coaches to a higher standard than you are your real community leaders. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. So until we change our mindsets, we're not serious about liberation. We're not serious about getting rid of white supremacy. We're not serious about that. I mean, let's just be real. Until we make changes on our end, until we choose to be better black people, these are the results we're going to get. Until we start, you vet your leaders first. You vet your leaders. You don't let nobody give you your leaders. We got to check your ass out. And you on a not no 90-day probation, you on like a year probation for us to check you out. Because if you have to earn this leadership position, it's not something that's just given. It's earned. And we have to start doing something goddamn different. Because we are aiding in our own destruction. The things that we champion, the things that we get behind. When somebody presents you with knowledge, you reject it. Somebody presents you with some foolishness, you all on it. We got to do different. But that goes back to what type of leadership that we have in our black community. We have faulty leadership in our black community, not across the board. And this is not across the board. It's not for all pastors, but accountability has to be in place. Okay, we just had this damn conversation not too long ago talking about the conscious community. So it go both ways. So for all you who are religious who heard our show and you were happy that we got on the conscious community, well, guess what? Now we own your community. And don't get mad, damn it, because we're saying the same thing. We holding this pastor to the same standard of accountability that we're holding Umar Johnson as.
Cool. So. Those are alternative facts, people. Facts.
Hey.
On another note, the Pastor Simmons song has 37,000 views.
Yo, well. Okay, that song, the hook, ain't gonna lie, the hook's catchy. The beat kind of makes you want to do a dab a little bit.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, the song overall is whack.
The song sucks.
The song sucks.
Let's not sugarcoat. The song is hot garbage now. So anybody out there trying to take credit for that song, just let you know, your song is hot garbage. It's just funny. It's hot garbage though.
Hey, the hook is catchy, and the beat is all right. The beat is hot. So if you made the beat, you know, I would claim that. But them verses is, yeah, no.
Like, I thought it was just I just listened to it. I'm like, okay, it's just the cooks, the bustin', and they got the
That's
little
what
video
I thought it was
playing.
Then they
but then the dude
rap.
Started rapping for real. I'm like, bro, like, what? No, stop, man. Serious? Like, you're trying to propel your career off of passive. Like, stop.
Yeah, you old sucker. You ain't no real MC trying to become famous off of somebody else's downfall. You old sucker. You down there with him. You old sucker. They come out of my camp. So?
Now
your camp ain't going too far then. If this music your camp making, your camp ain't going too far. And don't tell nobody else that came out your camp.
It's Scandal Music 2017,
right.
Baby.
Right, sucker.
Scandal dude. Records. That's what they should be called.
We got to do better, man. We got to do better. Really. Oh, man. Y'all got any parting shots before we wrap this thing up?
No,
I'll say this, man. To all the people that are part of that congregation, just sit down and think. Don't feel like you have to be compelled to stay there. Don't feel like, and if you do choose to stay there, speak the hell up. Your silence is consent. We've been saying that about when people are affecting the black community when they go out and kill black teenagers, and we say the dominant society is stay silent. We tell them their silence is their consent. Your silence is your consent to that behavior. And so if you're in that church, I urge you to do whatever you can to change that leadership. You should be putting the pressure on it. If you feel that invested, stop being a goddamn sheep. God didn't make you in the image of a sheep. Stop being one. You're not a sheep. Go up there, 10 toes down, and take a stand. Stand up for your morality that you've been learned, that you've been taught since you were a kid. About right or wrong, this and that. Stand up for those values that you hold dear and actually make some changes in leadership. Until that happens, I don't know.
You can't respect nothing you do. Like, you're all fools.
Or just leave. Like my family, I told them to leave. Like, don't you do that because I will call you out your name every Sunday. I find out you go there. I told them that. Do not let me – don't take my nieces and nephews there. Don't step foot on that church again. And they agree. We're not going back. So I'm happy. I'm fine with that. They're going to find somewhere else because guess what? There's like 800 churches in Tallahassee.
Man, they can go right down the street. Tell them they can get the Lake Bradford and bus a left, or you can go straight down Orange. And once you cross Orange and you got this little shopping plaza where after you get to the gas station, it's a church there. And then – I think there's another church on the side of that. Well, that might be the same church. And if you go further down the street, when you get to the next light, you're going to hit a church. And then when you get to the next light, you're going to hit a church. So, I mean, it's plenty to find. But you know, all in all, we want to see the black community thrive. We want to see the black community do better. And we not above calling people out. If you see Joseph Ward doing something that he ain't supposed to, if my actions are hurting the community, call me out. If my actions are hurting the community, call me out. And there it is.
Got it.
So with that being said,
that's all I got.
Yes, sir. With that being said, this is the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm Joseph. He's Jamie. He's Patrick Irvin. And we'll see y'all when we see y'all. Peace out.